in this first reading is alluding to the account in the book of Exodus about he's using this idea of veil. First, he talks about a veil over the hearts of the children of Israel. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. If anybody moves toward the Lord, they see, they understand, they believe in Jesus. They know that he's the living Son of God, and they want to be with him, close to him, helped by him. The veil is removed, you see. Now the Lord is the Spirit. The Lord removes the veil. But the Lord in that passage, Paul says, that's really the Holy Spirit. And so, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Eleftheria, freedom. One of my great professors, Father Lyonnais, used to say, you know, freedom means doing what you want. That's quite true. But you're only free if you love the Lord and want to do what he wants. That's where freedom is. I remember another professor, Father Lumbreras, a Spanish guy, and he was discussing this issue of whether you always have to do the more perfect thing. And there's several theological theories about that. It was moral theology, or some days we used to call it immoral theology. And so he's going through one of these opinions that you should always do the more perfect thing. You should always do the more perfect. He's demolishing them all, you know. Of course, we're rooting for him down there in the class. And then the last, it was a whole week of lectures on this. And then finally, the last day, Friday, he says, well, there is one other consideration. Uh-oh. He said, friendship. God has called us to friendship. And it belongs to friendship to do the preference of your friend. And it's an offense against friendship when you don't. That put us to quiet for a while. But it's a great insight, isn't it? You see, do what your friend wants. Your friend is God Almighty. Your friend is God the Father. Do what your friend wants. It's a really powerful and beautiful text. And plenty of times, you know, the Lord is telling us to do something, and we kind of try to pretend we don't hear it. Well, we lost a great opportunity. See, a guy like Anthony, he never did that. And that's why he's a saint. The Lord wants to make us saints, but we have to follow his preferences. And so we have to ask him. You know, I remember my sister was in high school. And she was figuring out what the Lord wanted her to do. She's married now with three kids and a whole bunch of grandchildren and so forth. But then I said, Ann, you know what you're doing? You're saying now there's five possibilities. You're going one, two, three, four, five. You know, you're not listening to all the possibilities. Well, she did well. She married a fine guy and they're doing okay. But we do that too, you see. And so then the text goes on, alluding to the fact that after Moses spoke with the Lord, his face was so brilliant people couldn't look on it. And he takes that notion of veil to say, you see, even though our gospel is veiled, it is veiled for those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Wouldn't that be awful? When we pray for the world, it's not an abstract, let's pray for the world, whatever that is. People have a veil over their spirits. They don't know. And they cling to that veil, and everything the time the Spirit tries to move them away, they will not move. And that's eternally dangerous. That's why the Lord says, go out, you're the light of the world, do something. Okay, you get the idea. The gospel, we're in the Sermon on the Mount. And the Lord is saying, do you and somebody else have a tension, well, you get it resolved. Because if you show up in front of me with that tension, you're going to hear from me. And that's why he gives us this example. Our God, this is God talking to us, is very creative with language, isn't he? He's been never at a loss for words. The only human, he was human as well as divine, who's like that. And so he says, you see, if your brother's got something against you, I'm not interested in your gift. Go get reconciled. Then come back. You see, or another example of the same thing. Settle with your opponent. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, the judge will hand you over to the guard, you'll be thrown into prison, and you won't get at it until you paid the last penny. It's debtor's prison. These are powerful images. And they're by our God. This is the living, eternal Son of God talking to us. And he's saying, you see, be reconciled to your brother. Don't let there be anything between you. And pray for that. Now sometimes what's between us is something in our heart. We don't like them. Or that we're mad at them. Or we have it in for them. If we die in that shape, we're going to be mighty embarrassed. Mighty embarrassed. If you want some time, you know, take an afternoon and read the Sermon on the Mount and see how much of it has to do with our relationships with one another. And this is God, Almighty God, infinite, holy, infinitely wise, the very wisdom of God himself, standing there telling us this. Nobody's going to say, well, I have another opinion. I hope. And so these are beautiful texts that the Lord gives us, you see. And the church does this. You know, we're going through now, starting a hot summer, and the church is saying, well, summer is like life, you know. It's hot, it's uncomfortable, you know. So we're going to get a lot of moral teaching during the summer. So that we can be alert.